Okay, so in today's 3D Sedra, so we're really going to only zero in on one pasuk and try to break it down into a few different elements. So the pasuk tells us that Yaakov Avinu is speaking to Yosef before he gives all of the brachas to all of the rest of the brothers. So this is the beginning, a little earlier in the parasha, when Yaakov is speaking to Yosef uniquely. So this is what he tells him, among other things. It's important to realize at first, he already told him that Ephraim and Manasseh, Keruvein v'Shimon Yiyuli, that your Ephraim and Manasseh are going to be, in some sense, like Shvatim, like Reuven and Shimon. So that's in the background of this, and may be significant, because if Yosef is being given a double portion, then already that is some inyan of Bechira happening to Yosef already. So that is going to have to go into the hopper here as well. But in this pasuk, Yaakov says to Yosef, Ani nasati.
No?
Right, but that's...
It doesn't count really, I guess.
Right, well, because we've got a few boys over there.
There'll be no
Pidyon
HaBen, right? There'll be no...
No, that's what there would be. There would be Pidyon HaBen, but there wouldn't be necessarily other things, because he's not the Bechir Yaakov.
No.
I wouldn't get the Pishnayim, but he would have opinion of Ben if he's the first from the womb. So this is going to be a little difficult to translate, but I am Nosati is which tense?
Future, no, to give.
Future?
Present? Nosati, I'm giving to you. Oh, it's present.
No.
Nosati Lacha.
You guys are all going to fail Hebrew 101, just saying. It's in the past tense, right?
I Google
translate.
I gave, right? I have given, and it's, you know, you could argue there's a certain degree of present here, but nosati, you know, is past tense. I gave, no?
Mm-hmm.
To you, shechem echad. Now, had it stopped at shechem, then we all would have said right away, somehow, and I don't know how, but somehow, Yaakov is giving Yosef shechem. But it doesn't say Shechem, it says Shechem Echad.
What is it, one, which is one Shechem? Or?
So I don't know what it means anymore, because were there more than one? So maybe Shechem means something else.
Maybe it just means the one Shechem. I don't know.
But then it would have just said Shechem.
Where the incident, you know,
the problem is Echad. The problem is
where your mother in law came from?
Achad. Shechem Achad. I gotta be careful with Chaim here. He nails me. He nails me on these things. So it's Shechem
Achad. We nail him.
I know, right? It's so true. It's me to connect. Well, not in the trough, but okay. But in any case, so we'll have to figure that out. Alachecha. So I'm above and beyond, right? On your brothers, meaning above and beyond. Whatever they're getting, you're getting a Shechem in addition. Asher lakachti, again, past tense, that I took Miyada Emiri from the hand of the Amorites. Becharbi v'kashti, with my sword and my bow. Because everyone knows that Yaakov was an expert at war and swords and bow and arrows.
And lightsabers.
You know, he's the one that was supposed to Yoshev Ohalim, and I thought it was Esav that was the one that was with the Cherev and all these kinds of things. So all of a sudden, Yaakov is a warrior.
It's actually amazing to me when I think about it that the Avos and, you know, all the personalities that our ancestors that we learn about in the Torah, we know that they are the most holy of the holies, right? But they engage in mortal hand-to-hand combat.
Get over here.
That's like such a dichotomy. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, so we'll see that. That is a 100% a legitimate Mahalik, but there are others. So let's ask some questions. Number one, is the word Shechem a physical location? Is it Shechem? Or, as we'll see, maybe it just means a portion. Maybe Shechem is a more general term for a portion. It means a Shechem Echad. It's a portion.
Means the definition of Shechem
it's
means
not a
portion?
Particular place. Maybe it
Shechem
just means,
means
a portion.
Portion.
Could be. We'll see that. Why is Yosef receiving it? Is this like a Bechor idea? Is it a different idea? Maybe it has nothing to do with being the Bechor. Maybe it's a different idea. After all, it's interesting. Yaakov is saying this to Yosef, as I pointed out of the context of everybody getting together. Later on, when he gives the brachas to everybody, everyone's together. Here is before all of that happened.
Maybe it's because he sent him to Shechem in the first place.
Ah, so there's more to do with Shechem over there, right?
It's like he's making it's a tikkun or a...
Ah, good. Maybe. What does it mean that Yaakov took it by the sword and the bow? If it's the city Shechem, is that better or worse?
Probably. I don't know. Because, you know, his mother-in-law, that's what...
They conquered Shechem. They decimated it by the sword.
The funny thing is, wasn't his mother-in-law the daughter of Dina? Wasn't his mother-in-law the daughter of Dina where the whole incident happened?
And right, it could be. It could be that was the child that she had also.
There was actual war afterwards.
Goes, oh, so we'll speak less on those Yidrashim a little bit. So, but it on the surface, when you read the Psukim, Yaakov wasn't the one fighting, right? In fact,
he wasn't
down with that. He was not down with that. They came back, and he curses their anger later. So if it's Yaakov Avinu saying, yeah, I got this place, Shechem, you know? I took my sword and my bow, and I got those guys. That would be a little strange. No? Okay, but that's in the Pashim Shat.
We know that he took some of Esav's job, right? Because he took over Esav's job when Esav failed. So that was what's fun. He was Ish Sadeh versus Ishmael at that time, right?
Esav, in which direction you're saying?
When he says, Bakashtiyu Garbi, which is what Esav did.
What Esav did?
That was Esav's expertise.
Right, so why is Yaakov saying it?
Because he had to take over Esav's role because Esav failed. Esav was an Av also.
Ah. Okay. who's Emiri over here? Shechem and Hamor? Someone else? That's another question we should answer.
And no, there was also many years between the war, right? There wasn't a long... Told Vayeshev, after Vayeshev, weren't there the medrashes, there were many wars. I mean, right? And then he just...
at what point? After Shechem?
Yeah, after Shechem. And some say maybe the Amorites were... somewhere in that conquering.
But some Amanoshek, right? Because if it's a reference to Shechem, so why does he have to say Emiri? Just say from Shechem and Hamor, right? Wow. If it's from Emiri, then maybe it refers to another location, another portion. Okay, then it's another portion. But we're ping pong there. We're going back and forth over here. Because depending on how you reach Shechem is going to determine other parts of the pasuk. Maybe Emiri should incline us that it doesn't mean the city Shechem means something else, but it's just confounding. The pasuk is confusing in that sense. And also, when you read the pasuk, is that why does Yaakov say it at all? If he wants to give him Shechem, or he wants to give him an additional portion, just give it to him. Why does Yaakov have to add Asher Lakachti Miyad HaEmiri Becharvi Bekashti? Like, what's he at? Is that the reason why Yosef's getting it? What is this? What's the end of the pasuk saying? And finally, if it's in the past tense, that's a little strange, right? I mean, Yaakov is in there. Is he capable of giving something to Yosef right now? In Eretz Yisrael? He's promising it to him. He's gone out to Nevuah.
And they own it.
It says he took it with his cherub and his keshes, but who's there now? Don't they have to recapture it when they go there later anyhow?
Well, they abandoned it. Giving us Eretz Yisrael.
They did, no? They abandoned it, no? What?
They have to.
Yaakov knows that Hashem is giving us Eretz Yisrael anyway.
So when he says, Ani nasati lecha, like I already gave it to you, like what? Asher lakachti, okay, lakachti, I guess is okay, but what's nasati? Give it now? With the guard dog guarding it well? Anyway, so
it's
like
water. Number one, they capture a lot of slaves, they capture all the animals. They
have like a whole kingdom of people.
So, yeah, they couldn't survive, there's no food.
Sounds like the city's gone, no? It sounds like the city's decimated.
The possessions were captured by them.
What you mean, it's the stuff, it's not the land?
How do we know it's not the stuff?
Okay, so maybe it means the metaltalin, but then what does it mean, shechemechem?
Yeah, I'm saying he could have had his servants stationed over there.
So he's just giving him the stuff, but not Shechem. No, give me Shechem.
They have his servants stationed there.
Because that's what's left. That's what's left from Shechem. Okay. So, here's what. No, so number one, the Pashtunim. So we'll see the Rashbam and the Ben Ezra and the Ramban are all chiming in on a very unapposite level that this was a promise for the future. So we're going to have to deal with the past tense and what's going on over here. And how does it make sense? And if it's about the future, what does it have to do with what he did in the past with Shechem? But let's see what they say. So the Rashbam says, "Vani v'oisa ha'aretz asatit chachilak achar yoser alachecha." In the land, I have given you this one portion. Right? He learns it as a portion, not Shechem specifically, the place, but a portion more than I'm giving your brothers. It sounds like a bechorah type of idea. Because if I'm giving you as a brother, as you more than your brothers, it sounds like a bechorah idea happening over here. Shemanasha v'Ephraim kiruvein v'Shimon yiyuli. Ah, this is going on the coattails. Well, they're not. Reuven and Shimon both came from Leah. So Reuven's going to be the Bechor.
He says, so, like Reuven and Shimon. Okay. Right.
So in what way?
Maybe in Bechorship.
Well, because you become two out of the brothers. That sounds like a Bechor idea.
Why Reuven and Shimon?
Why By specific Reuven and Shimon. So you could say Reuven because he's the Bechor.
But don't use Reuven. Reuven
lost it also. Didn't Reuven lose it?
Unless it's exactly parallel somehow. I mean, it should. Okay.
Didn't Reuven lose it? I hear you. The whole thing with Bilhah. Didn't he lose it?
So there's a lot of different approaches about this. We didn't deal with this in the past. Rashi's the one, we'll come back to it, that says that no, the fact that the Pasuk says that there were 12 sons and it starts off with Reuven in that specific story itself, he did not lose it, and Yosef only got Bechora in terms of Minyan Hashvata. That's what Rashi insists. Others disagree, but that was Rashi insists. In any case, so Rashbam here says that all Yaakov Avinu is telling him is that you have a certain Bechora here, at least in some way, and so that's why you're getting two portions in the land. Asidim lakachas miyad emiri, that in the future they're going to take from the hands of the Emiri, and again, Emiri was not the only nation in Eretz Israel. Right? There was seven nations, that's the Canaanim in general. So why the Emiri all of a sudden? Becharbi of a kashti b'melchemes Yehoshua. The Rashbam takes it, I mean, he's supposed to be saying Pashup Shat, right? But he takes it in a very different direction. That what Yaakov is telling him is that I'm giving it to you, or it's as if I'm giving it to you now, but what's going to be is it's going to be taken in a battle, in war, because they're going to have to go and they're going to have to retake Eretz Yisrael or take it for the first time. And it's going to be a war, and it's going to be... But that's talking about Melchemes Yehoshua. Right? It's not talking about the past.
That's a chiddush there. Every line has taking my war.
Right, so what would he be? What would he be adding? Why is it significant? Maybe that's what makes the kinyan over. There's a kibush for Shona, a kibush as opposed to other things in Chazaka.
Maybe specifically using that because Yaakov wouldn't use that other. He wouldn't use those tools. Maybe.
So Rashbam feels forced to say that. Maybe.
So we're saying that he's saying that he's giving it to him in the future.
Right.
However, Yosef will not be alive in the future to take over.
So it's going to be Ephraim and Menashe. Yep. Okay, so then he has an issue over here that we don't have to do with it. And then at the end he has this line where he says, Zuchuso shel Yaakov garam lahem. The Zuchus of Yaakov caused it to happen to them. It's like a random line at the end of the Rashbam, and he doesn't explain what's bothering him and what he's saying.
So caused,
right? What, why all of a sudden is he mentioning his Zuchus? Yoshua's going to use his sword and the bow, and they're going to fight, and they're going to conquer. What do you mean, and it's the Zuchus of Yaakov? Why does he need to say that at all?
Maybe Shechem, they don't have the Zuchus to get over.
Meaning there's a war, and there's also the Zuchus of Yaakov, we knew. But in the Pashup Shat, Yaakov is saying, Asher lakachti.
I took.
Well, how do you attribute it to Yaakov? Yaakov it should Lemes. Be that... Right, if the Rashbam... Okay, that's also looking right. Tainus. So, if the Rashbam is right, and it's talking about the future, you can't attribute it to Yaakov.
The Zuchus might be that Shem they would lose, if not the Zuchus of Yaakov.
That's right, so, but I'm just saying, in the Pashup Shat, the Rashbam is explaining how what Yoshua does later on is really Yaakov. That, I think that's what's bothering Rashbam. Because once you say this, then Yaakov can't say that I took from the Emiri. What does that mean? No, it's all in the Zuchus of Yaakov. Whatever's going to happen later on, it's all in the Zuchus of Yaakov. So that's that. The Ibn Ezra adds a little bit, why Emiri? It's not Emiri. Emiri is not the only nation that occupies the Eretz Canaan. Like, what's going on over here? So he writes, Hizker Emiri bavur she'ein b'shiva goyim chazak amoyu. He was the most formidable enemy. So it's like the strongest. So, you know, okay, so you say the Emiri because, like, even if it has to be from the Emiri, it'll be yours. They're going to conquer it, guaranteed. And then he writes, and don't wonder, don't wonder about the past tense over here. He says, you see that already by Avram Avinu, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu, I have given you the land. Because if a Kadosh Baruch Hu says you're going to get it, it's as good as done. If you remember, that was a little bit of a machlekes between Avram and Lot, the shepherds. Right? Because the shepherds of Lot said, it's good as it's done. It's ours already. But it really wasn't theirs yet. So they didn't muzzle the animals, and Avram Avinu did muzzle the animals. Was it his land yet? It's not his land yet. So the fact that it was told to him in the past tense is not... But it's guaranteed to Yaakov. Yaakov has the Haftacha from Hashem. He's going to get Eretz Canaan. My question is, does he have a right to distribute it? What right does Yaakov have to distribute what's going to be? Well, maybe he didn't give him any specific place. Maybe it's just an extra portion. And that's certainly how the Rashbam and the Mivin are learning. It's not Shechem specifically. The Ramban, what does he add to all of this? He points out that it's more than just the Shvatim. There's also the Degalim, right? There's Degal, Machan, Ephraim. That one of the way they grouped the Shvatim in the Midbar was in four groupings, which we're not going to go into now. That's not the whole topic. But one of them was actually Ephraim, led a whole group of three other Shvatim. So in the Degalim, but Menashe is included in that. So there's two Shvatim in the Degalim. Chanukas HaNasiim, there's a separate Korban by the Nasi of Menashe. So anyway, the Ramban points this out, that there are a few times where Ephraim, where Yosef gets a double portion in a few different areas. But in any case, be that as it may, I have done for you, Yosef, Yaakov speak, I have done for you, Yosef, everything I can. At the time when I still can do whatever I can. Yaakov has no permission to give any land. He can't distribute it. Rak Shem Achad. Just, he does not translate as the place Shem, as an extra portion. Can't steal from one of the other boys his nachala, this portion in Eretz Yisrael. But he can give the bechira. He can give a double portion. Of what? Yeah, you have to wait and see.
How could he? Can't.
So that, okay, I don't know. In halacha, it sounds a little strange. But somehow the bechira is in his hands to designate. We'll see that. That may be part of his getting it from Esav, maybe he has a certain koyach of Bechira. To see, maybe Rashi is alluding to that. And then he says, V'tami adha emri. He says more than that. By the way, he points out that Yosef specifically does seem to have a lot of battles with emri specifically. So you can take a look at what he points out over here. Menashe conquered areas of emri specifically. So, okay, be that as it may, there may be more of a maybe relationship with Yosef and the chilek he gets that may actually be significant in what he's going to get. Alluded to, Yaakov is pointing out, you know, in the Gesp Nevua, that somehow you're going to conquer from the Emiri specifically, those specific areas. And then he points out towards the bottom here, and this is connected to sword and bow. Because Yaakov Avinu has a zechus, like the Rashbam was saying, in the battle. You don't conquer with the sword. You conquer with zechuyos. Whatever a Kaddish Baruch Hu wants to happen is going to happen. So even though it's going to be physically with cherev, with, so to speak, with the tanks and whatever, the soldiers, but be'etzem, it's really me giving it to you because it's my zechus, as you know. That's what the Rashbam was saying. The Ramban is saying that this is generally the case, and he says something really interesting. He have a karav elayot. He like sort of like says, I have no more karav for this, but I feel that Yaakov Avinu did one of those navi things that he says he took like a sword or a bow or something like that, and he like shoved it into the ground or pointed it at the mirror or something like that. He did a maaseh in this world. That because he did an action in the world, will allow it to happen in the future. That we see this a lot. That there's when you make something real, it has a reality to it. It's like not just a concept anymore.
Like a bracha.
But you have to have something for it to be shared around. Leave it bread at the table.
Rock, no, didn't Bab Sali was very into that.
Yeah, but we have a din that when you bench, you're supposed to leave some of the chalas and the bread on the table. You need something physical to latch onto. And once there is something physical there, so now the reality has begun. It's not just a nevuah, it's an abstraction. It's begun. So anyway, so he suggested maybe that's what Yaakov did here as well. Here's a random ha'ara. So the Nitziv, he says like this, what does it mean, Shechem Achad? So everybody wonders, it's not clear, who were the two Shvatim that wanted land outside of Eretz Yisrael? Reuben and...
No, Chassi Shev Menashe.
Reuben and Gad.
Yeah,
what's going on with Chassi Shev Menashe? And Pesukim never explain. Chatzis Shev Menashe was also over there. So there are a lot of different explanations for that. So the Nativ points out, yeah, Yosef got an extra portion. Chatzis Shev Menashe. What's he doing over there? That was extra. Okay, that's a very interesting ha'ara. You know, okay, Chiddush, wow. Okay, that's what he says. That was the extra thing given to him because he has no place being. What's he doing over there? No, that was extra.
It would be a chutzli. That's what
he was just saying.
So I saw a pshat once that I really like. I saw it in the Miam Loyes. I don't remember who said it. That the Bedafka, they wanted Menashe to be half in and half out. Because that way, no one would ever say, you guys, you're on the other side of the Jordan. You're not even part of us. No, there's Menashe on both sides. This is all one big thing. It was like the bridge. That was very interesting. Anyway, but that's what the Netziv suggests. Okay, so that's number one. That's a promise for the future. Number two is a gift from the past. So the Medrash says, "Vanina sati lecha shchem achad zeh b'chayra." Right, that sounds like what we said so far. An extra portion. Shelakach mi adamuri b'char b'kashti b'tfila or b'bakasha. That I have taken from the Amiri with sword and bow. The Medrash says it doesn't mean sword and bow. It means prayer and request. So we're going to see this as we go. Unkelus translates it this way. He doesn't translate it as a bow and arrow and a sword. He translates it this way. It's very interesting. But that's what the Medrash says, and we'll come back to this and try to develop it. But that's what the Medrash says doesn't mean actually a physical sword and bow, or at least not only a physical sword and bow, maybe. Davar acher, another mahalach says the Medrash, b'char b'kashti, no, it means literally, b'kidomer, b'mayis Hashem. Like it says in the Ma'is Hashem, that they conquered it with force, you know, with a sword and then that. The next Medrash, the Psik Tzvitchisa, says, v'nasati l'chashem ha'achar alechecha, klemar, ir Hashem. No, it means the city of Hashem. He spells it out in no uncertain terms in this Medrash. V'nasati l'manachla, yoyseo nachlazia. Somehow Yaakov Avinu has the right to give the city of Shechem, maybe because he conquered it already. Maybe that was already his. Maybe that was a problem, as I think Levi pointed out a few weeks back. If they're supposed to be strangers in a strange land and they conquer a land, that makes it a little problematic, doesn't it? So maybe they had to go to Mizraim at that point, and that's all part of Yosef being sold right away at that point. Yeah. Listen to this. You're going to like this. At the time when Shimon and Levi picked up their sword and their weapons, they put on their belts, they girded their loins, and they headed over to this city to just decimate it, to ransack it, to kill them. Amar Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov Avinu, who did not want them to go, he says, Hey, how could I allow this to happen? What happens if they lose? Miyad notol charboi. So he got his lightsaber and his kashtoi, the harag b'shchem, and he killed in Shechem, Medrash says, yoiser mishemin v'levi.
Wow.
More than Shimon v'levi. Now, okay, that's what the Medrash says. Pashta sounds literal to me, although there is ways to understand it in a different sense, as we'll see. But it sounds pashta in the Medrash that Yaakov Avinu killed more than Shimon v'levi. Wow. Well, no one else on the yoiser b'shchem. So Taka, why did Yaakov decide?
He
had to save their tuchuses. And here I have to come and save your tuchus again. That, you know, like, he had to save.
Well,
he
felt it, wouldn't he? 13 years old, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I have to figure it out. No droids, right? What?
Other brothers didn't join him?
Yeah, I don't know. Does that, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. It's a good question. It doesn't sound like it, right? Or, I don't know.
They came and they took everything.
Afterwards. So now the Medrash says, so why did Yaakov decide to give Yosef Shechem? What's that all about? The fee, Shem Yishchem Machru. From Shechem they sold him. It wasn't in Shechem, but that's how that whole thing came about. That's where they were, and that's where Yosef went to find them.
Really, they weren't in Shechem when they sold him.
Correct. But that's
Yaakov sent him.
Correct, that's the next thing you write. And then and it was Me'emek Chevron, which we discussed. That the depths of Hebron means the Avos, that Avram Avinu is a big plan, to send them there, but that was all related to Shechem. The Fichach, Nasne Shechem, Bnei Yosef Lenachla. That's why they, Bnei Yosef, were given that particular city as a heritage. That's where Yosef Tak was buried. He's buried in Shechem. Now, what do you make out of that? So I think this is a source for war reparations. What's the angle on this? So that's not the angle of the Medrash. It doesn't say he took it away from them, but it was given to you because of, look at all the negativity. So I'm giving this to you.
Even though the brothers did the right things.
Well, I don't know about that. But in other words, but somehow this is making it up to him on some level in some way. And he's even buried there, which is like astonishing. So maybe it's a tikkun, you know, but it's somehow being given to Yosef because of what happened there to him. There's another Medrash, a slightly different angle on it. So this Medrash says, Shekvara Sisira Bachar Lenachala. Again, the background is that you've become a Bachor, so you're getting a double portion. So the question is, are these two different concepts? If you say that Yosef has been given a double portion, do you have to say that that's a different approach than Shechem? In other words, one mahalach is there are two different ideas. One way to look at it is that there's a Bachorah idea going on. Another way to look at it is there's like a war reparation that going on. It's not because he's the Bachor. Nothing to do with it. It's because of all the negativity that happened there. That's what you see in the first marriage. In this marriage, he starts off saying that you are a Bachor. So you have to get, so to speak, double. Now, so what's it going to be? So until now, we said maybe Yaakov has no right to choose that. The Medrash is saying, well, maybe he does have the right to choose it because this is the city that he has a right to give to him somehow. So the two things could go together. You are the Bechor and you get an extra or a double portion. Well, which portion? So until now, we've assumed it's open. This Medrash says, no. Chelek Echad, I'll tell you what to see. Your Shechem. That is the city that's going to be your extra point. It's like not like the Netziv, you know, Chatzi Shev and Asher and the Everly are.
We got Shechem. Asher Ephraim. We got Shechem and Asher Ephraim.
Have to look at the atlas and see where it is. So this Medrash says, where did Yaakov Avinu get Shechem through the sword and the bow? Not al charboi v'kashtoi. So he took, again, it starts off the same. You know, my kids are in danger. My kids are in danger. I got to do something about it. So he picked up his sword and his bow. And this version, this Medrash says, V'amar al pischa shel ir. He stood at the doorway of the city. Right? The first Medrash said he killed more than Shimon Lee. This Medrash says he stood at the doorway of the city. Omar, and he said, Im yavoyu emoirim. If the emoiri, I guess that's who was there. If the emoiri will come, lilachim kenegdam, and they'll come to support Shem, anil chamahem, so then I will fight them. Not that he actually did, but he served as a shmira so that they could do whatever they did in Shechem. Right? That's a very different medrash. So then, the medrash says that's what it says in the pasuk vayavoyu al ha'ir betach. Remember that pasuk? They came onto the city like with trust, with, I don't know, betach. How do you translate that? You know, with surety.
Confidence.
They were circumcised.
So that's one way to look at it. They were sure that they would be weak. The medrash says no. It means they had something to trust in. Shmuel Shaul Levi Benisi Ma Betach. What does it mean in the pasuk Betach? Shehayu betuchin al koicha shel zake. They had a trust in the koyach of the zake of Yaakov Avinu. So why did Yaakov decide to give that to Yosef and as his bechira? Right, it spells it out as the bechira. Because that's where everything happened. It says in the Nefirach hichziruhu l'shem. That was the source of him getting sent out. This is like bringing full circle and closure. Now you're coming back. I think it's a little different than the first Medrash said it. That means full circle. There's like a closure here. This is how you got exiled. This is how you got sent out. And now this is how you're going to come back. It's going to be your chilek. So sort of like bringing everything full circle and a closure to the whole episode. In any case, that is a little different. Here, instead of the Yaakovinu is fighting, here he's creating like a shmira. So the Haraz Akenim. See, he writes, after Shimon Levi killed whoever they killed, so then the Amori or whoever it was, they came to like, oh, what's going on over here? You know, they're going to, if this is what the Jews are going to do, we're going to attack them. So Yaakov Avinu, you know, girded himself. Shall Yaakov Avinu, after the war is over. War is over. Everything calmed down. He says to the brothers, Mi asa Yosef ben Mochama? Who did more in the war? You or me? I'm really like, Dad, you're kind of old. Like, what could you do, you know? So he says to them, Atatiru lemi akoyach. Now you'll see who has the koyach. Holcham, holicham, Yaakov, etzal shar echad. Yaakov went to the gate of the city, v'nol oisa, and he locked it. Dachva kulam lenegdoi. They all tried to push it, v'yuch lepuz, and they couldn't open it. So they all agreed, okay, you know, you win. I think it means the brothers tried to push the door in and they couldn't push the door in with his koyach was preventing them from coming in. Unless it means there were more emoiri that were still fighting. It sounds like it was after the war was over. Anyway, so somehow there's a koyach of Yaakov, but the koyach of Yaakov sounds like not necessarily a koyach of Milchama, but a koyach of Shmira. He could protect, he could
because
keep
that's the door. Because that's why they couldn't open the doors.
Yeah, that's the imagery. Yeah. It's like he's... Anyway, it's very interesting. Rabbeinu Mechaye, so he writes... When it comes to the sword and the bow, he's like, it doesn't mean that he was fighting. It means a zuchus. The zuchus of Yaakov. And this is on the Tif coattails of the Ramban that he has said before, that the war is, you know, so, you know, that doesn't win wars. What wins wars is that there's a zuchus. So that's what he says, like it says. It's like the Ramban said, he says, at the end of the day, the only way Klal Yisrael is going to conquer Eretz Yisrael is through the Zuchus of the Avos. So he explains that as well. But Unkelish, a Tirgame, when Unkelish says that Cherev means prayer, And keshes means request. That's what he had in mind. He's not trying to say that it's something exclusive. They're both, they go together. That there is going to be a physical component here, but it requires a zuchus that has to do with tefillah, and has to do with bakasha. And when those two go together, that's what's behind the scenes. That's what's really happening. So the zuchus that really allows it. Why should tefillah be referred to as a sword? And we'll get more into this as we go. Because tefillah protects a person like a sword in the hands of a mighty warrior. It's interesting. Again, he's relating to the shemira. Yeah, right? So why a sword?
The sword is more proactive than protection, right?
Yeah. So maybe the shemira here requires something more than just a shield. It requires a tefillah to go up and to pierce something, and that creates the shmira, is because my prayers are piercing something and allowing the shmira to come through. But okay, so we'll see a little bit. Oh yeah, because it's chuzat Torah. Another way to look at it, he says, and this is not uncle, it sounds like Rabbi Mechai is saying this on his own, that maybe the cherev is actually a reference to Torah. Where do you find that? He says, because everybody knows that the Avos knew the Torah, they kept the Torah. Then he quotes from there, "Matzino shatarim shel cherev pifiyos." We do find that the Torah is referred to as a double-edged sword.
Only when you use it incorrectly, meaning like the Talmidei Chacham or something that don't have.
The cherev pifiyos biyadam, kriyash malamita, you know. Hatorah doimer lecherev pifiyos shehi oicheles mishnei tzadim, because it so to speak it devours from both sides. I don't know. We have to figure out what he means by that. It sounds a little abstract. But in any case, that's Rabbi Mechai. He's taking this in a slightly different direction, that when it comes to the cherev and the keshes, but etzem, what it means is that there's a zechus and it's ruchnius. That's what's really going on. And everything else is just finishing the job. This may be exactly what the Gemara has in mind. That's the Gemara everybody's quoting. It's Unklus is quoting. That what you think Yaakov Avinu is fighting with a sword and a keshes. So look right now, loy bekashti. That's not how he fights. Ella means tefillah, and the keshes is bakasha. So we'll try to spell that out a little bit more. The Shalach Kadosh just writes, "Hichin derech shal Yaakov bechol milchamos." If you remember, Yaakov Avinu did this once by Esav. He got presents, and he got murdered for war and for tefillah. So he says that wasn't a one-time thing. That's how Yaakov Avinu rolled. You do what you can in terms of gifts and try to negotiate ahead of time. You don't have to fight. When necessary, you avoid it. If fighting is necessary, it's necessary, but it has to come with tefillah. It can't be without tefillah. So it's not like separate ways to wage war. It's that they all have to go together.
It's a formula.
It's a formula. The Radak has a totally different approach that kind of like just like wipes the slate. He says, what do you mean? Why are you going crazy with all of this? You know what I mean? Bechar v'yukashti? You know what the sword and the bow is? It's Hashem. Hashem is my sword. Hashem is my bow. Yeah, David HaMelech speaks like that a lot. Hashem is my this. Hashem is my that. Yeah, don't give me a hard time. So that's a Radak. Like, kind of just like, you know. There is a really unbelievable Targum Yerushalmi here. And this is like worthy of another shir, what this is all about. But this Targum says, I'm giving you an extra portion. You know what that portion is? Clothing. What clothing? So Adam HaRishon had these special clothes, remember? And he got to Nimrod, and he got to Esav, and he would hunt in them because all the animals would be like attracted to it or whatever. Yeah. So how did Yaakov Avinu get it? So if you take a look at the next source over here, Rechaim Paltiel writes, there's another medrash that says, Kishchem Achan, Shanasa Na Yaakov, Elu Big Day Esav Achamudois. Those special clothes of Esav that he wears when he gets the brachas from Yitzchak. Esav made the mistake. What? Yaakov wore them. Yaakov wore them when he had to get brachas from Yitzchak. So those are called the chamudos. So one time Esav went to fight with the king of the Emori. Yaakov esadavar asa tfila lahashiv habagadim, that the begadim should not be lost to the king of the Emori, and somehow they should get them back. And guess Esav lost. So he lost his begadim to the king of the Amori. And Yaakov, you know, davened that they shouldn't remain in the hands of the Melech Amori. Was Nasan, HaKadosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eschinoi Be'enei Melech Amori, he put like a certain favor, like a juke in his head. And so Vishagam, and he sent them to Yaakov as a gift or something like that. He says, yeah, you should have these. That's how Yaakov Avinu got these clothes that went back to Adam and Nimrod and Esau. And yeah, so that's actually what he gave to Yosef. What's that all about? What?
Esau was involved at all.
Esau lost them to the king of the Amori. That's what it means. But maybe like from the Amori. I got it from the Amori.
Where'd you get this from?
I have no idea. He says it's a medrash. He says a medrash. I don't know where the medrash is. There is this Targum Yerushalmi. Doesn't give the details that Ruchaim Taltiel gives. Okay, but in any case, that's you know, a gift from the past. I'm giving you Shechem. What are the various reasons for that? So, yeah. And there's another way to look at this. So this is our third approach over here. That it has to do actually with the birthright, the Bechira in a more general sense, and the rights to Eretz Yisrael because of that. Because Esav maybe had a certain future that was changed, and Yaakov Avinu got it from Esav. And so now Yaakov has Eretz Yisrael, and he has all kinds of things going on over there, and some of them he got from Esav. So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says two totally different things. The first thing he says is what we already discussed, that I'm giving you something, and I'm giving it to you, why? Forget Bechira, forget everything else. You know what? I owe you, I gotta pay you. You know, you're gonna schlep me all the way to Mitzrayim. There's like cost gas, you know, you had gas for the camels back then, you know. So it's gonna, you know, I should pay you. So I'm giving it to you simply stop because you're doing so much for me. I have to pay you, I'm paying you back. You'll be buried there as well. And that's gonna be the city of Shechem. That's the first thing Rashi says. Payment for the Tircha. But then Rashi says, Shechem Echad Alechecha, Shechem Mamish. Yeah, it means the city of Shechem. That's going to be your chelek. B'chari b'kashti. Why is it referred to as gaining it through the sword and the bow? Shimon and Levi. So Yaakov also fought as well. Okay, so that's what we've seen until now. Dover Acher. Another pshat. Shem Echad. Yeah, B'chira. Rashi takes this in a slightly different direction. It means that Yosef is being given the B'chira here by Yaakov. Sheyidlu banav shnei chalakim. Shechem lashon chelaku. Shechem doesn't mean the city. Shechem, it just means a portion. He proves it from other places, so you can take a look. Then he says, I put in parentheses that the Rashi from Vayishlach, that the Bechira of Yosef is only le'inyan hashvatim. Right? That's what Rashi said earlier, so I just quoted it here. And then Rashi writes, Asher lakach mi'ad emiri. Who's the emiri that Yaakov got the extra portion from? Let me just spell this out. If it means Shechem, okay, the city, we know that. It makes sense. If it means an extra portion, what extra portion did I get in the past from the Amori? So you remember the Rashbam and Ezra and Ramban, they say, no, it's the future. The future. But if it means the past, how does he get an extra portion because of taking it from the Amori in the past? Right? It doesn't make any sense, right? I'm giving you an extra portion because I took it from the Amori in the past. So Rashi writes, no, the Amori is Esav. Esav's not an Amori. He behaved like an Amori. The Amori are known to be totally immoral. So he behaved like the Amori. Another way to explain it, Imrei Fiv. That he used to entrap his father with his manipulation. Imrei Fiv is an acronym, Amori. Imrei Fiv.
Esau
used to trick Yitzchak with the way that he talked. So wait again. So how's Rashi learning? This is unbelievable. Rashi is learning that, unless I'm off on this, that I have a right to give you a Bechira because I got the Bechira from Esav. I have a right to give this to you. Becharbi Bekashti, what's that have to do with the Charbi Keshis now? He chachmasa mitfilasa. In his wisdom and his tefillah. Because he had to figure out how to trick Esav and the whole thing with the lentils and the give me the red stuff. And so he had a whole cheshbon of what he's going to do. And apparently he davened. He should be able to have the zechus of Karbanos and Eretz Yisrael and I don't know, whatever else apparently is coming along with it. Gets a little tricky because what elements are Birchas Avram and which elements are the Bechira, this gets a little sketchy. But for now, so that's what Rashi is saying. Okay, so look at this. The Panim Yafa is, so see, he... Reb Pinchas Horowitz, the Bafloa. So you see, he writes, this is great. According to Rashi, it's talking about the portion of Bechira, and Emori, I got it from Esav. It's not only that he got it from Esav, he also got it ultimately from Yishmael as well. Shahaya, Because he also has a taina. He also gets a bechera. No, he was the bechor. How did Yitzchak get it? Yitzchak took it from him. Didn't steal it. Didn't get, you know, but it was. But a Kaddish Baruch says, "He be Yitzchak yikar lechazara." In Yitzchak will be the your zera and not Yishmael. And be Yitzchak, not all of Yitzchak, some of Yitzchak. Which means there's going to be a child of Yitzchak that's not going to get this. So anyway, point is, that's why he says, Becharbi uvakashti. Because who is the Cherev guy? Esav. And who is the Roivakashas? Yishmael. So both of these terms, I acquired it from them with sword, because that was the exchange from the sword guy. And I got it from the Keshas guy too, because it didn't go to Yishmael. If it means Shechem, the father is not allowed to show favoritism and to pick and choose who's the bechor. The only way that a father that wants to do something about Yerusha in the future is to give it as a gift now. Right? You're allowed to give whatever you want before you die. After you die, you can't manipulate it. That's why he says, I'm giving it to you in the past tense and in the language of a gift. I'm giving it to you now. But wait a minute. But I don't have access to it. I don't have it. It's an Eretz Kanaan. If you want to try to give somebody something that doesn't yet exist, you can't acquire something that doesn't yet exist. But if you acquire something that does exist along with something that doesn't yet exist, that does work. So Yaakov Avinu wants to give Yosef the Bechira. He can't give him something that doesn't exist. He tries to give him Teres Matana, but it doesn't exist yet. They didn't conquer Israel yet. But he does own Shechem, conquered it. So he can give him something that exists. It's in the Olam now, and along with it, he'll get the Bechira in the future in Eretz Kanaan. So this is a whole halachic thumb work over here. But anyway, I thought it was really fascinating. The Marsha relates to this as well, talking about the Birchas Acherav al Charba Chatichya, that Yosef has the bracha, he's going to live by his sword. Kamoshikasava kol Yaakov, and Yaakov is not like that, right? And he's the opposite, that his voice. Vabakasha toyol v'mokam akeshes. And so, the Yaakov Avinu, his voice, his tefillah, is in place of the sword and in place of the bow of Yishmael. So there's tefillah and Bakasha, which we'll try to explain in the next couple minutes. I know this has been way too long. FYI, the Baal Turim writes that Shechem Achad is in the gematria of Chelek Bechira. Chaim Paltiel also points out, Becharbi, Bakashti, Hey and Ches can switch around a little bit. So Charbi can be Harbi, which means a lot of something, a lot of tefillos, Harbe. A lot of words, Harbe. And Kashti can simply be read as Bakashasi. Instead of Bakashti, which means my Bakasha. So there's already a remez in the words themselves to Tefillah and Bakasha. Okay, we'll skip the next one. Let's just bring this to a close. The Nitziv in his Harchiv Davar and the Meshech Chachma both say something very, very similar. They say, what's going on over here with the Cherev relating to Tefillah and the Keshes relating to Bakasha? And so they both say the same thing. It seems to be like a Litvish and Masara, that there's two types of tefillah. One type of tefillah is the way we're mechuyev to daven every single day, Shemana Esrei, Betzivur, everybody says the same thing. It's very kavua. Very kavua. That's called the cherev. And there's something called bakasha.
Cherev, meaning a sword?
Fixed tefillah. Everyone has this, our avodas Hashem. Tefillah, that's called cherev. We have to explain that. And bakasha is the bow. Bakasha means request. I have a personal request. There's something unique happening right now. So the words that we use are very good in general, but then you need to specify what you're talking about. So the Nitziv and the Meshech Chachma, so they both say that the Cherev is about something that's tefillah. He says like this, Abir Alzeh, the tefillah kavua, shaya b'chol zman, misha shetiknu aviseinu, shalashit tefillah zbayorim, zem mikri tzilusa, what a person adds, his own personal needs at a particular time, that's called bu'usa, which is a request of akasha. Because you have to start with a tefillah kavua, you have to start with this word, And then within the sword, so then you can begin with the bow, with the specific requests. In other words, instead of saying, the Arma Halach is not to just approach a Kaddish Baruch Hu with a request out of context of tefillah. In our Shemana Esrei, we approach a Kaddish Baruch Hu with our personal requests in the context of the tefillah kavua. He says, Mashal, Ma Davar Doime, if you go to war, when you go to war, you have your sword and you have your bow. So what you have to do, if you want to win the war, you know, you got to get the leader. But you have no access to the leader, because the leader is being protected by all of his soldiers. So you could try to get him with your bow, but he's being surrounded and protected. So you got to take your sword, and you got to slash around everybody that's protecting him, and you got to try to get in as close as you can. Once you can get rid of a little bit of that protection, you get that bow, and you fight, and you shoot it, and you shoot it right in where you need it to go. So that's how we always have to approach all of our issues with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. There's a tefillah kavua, and then there's a tefillah that's local. That's what we're doing. That's our specific request. So it has to be in the context of the tefillah kavua. The Meshech Chachma writes, along the same lines, he said the tefillah v'ra kavua ena kavana ma'akev. When it comes to a tefillah kavua, so we know when you daven b'tzibur, so Kaddish Baruch Hu was not asking everybody if they had kavanah that day. That when a person davens b'tzibur, davens in a minyan, so the tefillahs have a koyach atzibur. And if a person is davening on a personal request on his own, so then it's much harder to get through. So he says that that's what's going on by Cherev and Keshes as well. He says, because in Kivin Levavai, but Avai Sagi, as long as you have kavanah for Avai, is good enough. A little bit of kavanah is good. Lekain b'chidush. But when there's a chidush in your tefillah, your own personal request, or even davening on your own, so it requires a lot more kavanah. And he says in this last paragraph here, v'hinei Cherev huba'atzma mazik. The sword itself is a serious weapon. It's a very serious weapon on its own. Barzel, it's iron, it's sharp. But the truth of the matter is, an arrow is about pressure. It's not about being like something that cuts because it touches and it slices something because it's so sharp. It requires direction and pressure and power. So that when we daven for something, that's the bakasha part of it. Every day you come to shul, you daven b'tzibur, you do what's kavua, it's a sword. It's a cherev pifiyos, it's a sword. But if you have a specific request, so then you have to dive into the Kaddish Baruch Hu with all of your heart. You have to pull back on that bow, and you have to shoot it in the right direction with kavana. That kivun means direction, and that's what allowed those types of things, to be successful. And that's why it's translated in the Gemara and Unkelus as the Cherev is tzilusa, is prayer, is tefillah, but the keshes is busa, is bakasha, is request. They're two different components, and they work very differently. And I will finish with this. We can't possibly forget this word because we say it or hear it every single day. The Abu Dram, of course, is a parish on davening. And so he says, "Kishoimer kaddish, achasurikol tefillah." When we have a kaddish, what do we call kaddish? Tiskabel, right? Mm-hmm. What do we say? Tiskabel, soloisoin, uva usoin. Our tefillah and our bakasha. Why do we say it like that? Why do you have to separate it? Why are you mentioning two things? He says, "Dekol Yisrael al Shem." It's all about this pasuk. Hashem lakachti me'ad emri becharbi bekashti, and the targum is b'tzilusi b'usi. That's why we say it in our kaddish every single day to remind us that this is how we fight. We fight with our cherev as kavua, and we fight with our keshes, which is our specific kavanas and our bakashas.